always like to start with prayer, so nothing against your prayer. I'm going to pray just one more time. Dear Lord in heaven, Lord, we ask that your spirit please come here today, Lord, and that each word that I speak is not my words, Lord, but your words. And I ask that you use me to bring each person here closer to you, Lord. And we thank you so much for hearing our prayers. In your name, amen. So, like they mentioned, I was called just earlier this week. I think it was Wednesday night. I guess they had just finished their meeting and found out that we didn't have a pastor anymore. And so that night, I thought in my mind, what would be the most important thing that I would want to share with my church family? And I know I'm not here very often because I'm at school or I'm traveling someplace or I'm visiting another place, another state. So some people might wonder if I still consider it my home church. I still consider it my home church. I've been here. I guess I was dedicated when I was 3 days old and baptized. I guess it was in 94. So I've been here for a long time. And I thought, what is it? What would be the most important thing that I could share with you? What is the message that is most important, most relevant for us today? In the church today, I've seen a lot of changes in a number of things, mostly in membership. As I come back, you know, I see new faces and I see some old faces. I think some of these faces have been in this church longer than I have, which to me is unbelievable because that's before time began as far as I'm concerned. But I know that it's not. It's just when I started realizing time began. So I know that a lot of you have been here and I see some new faces. I even remember some faces of when you guys were like little. But that's just because I have a good memory, I guess. But I want to talk about a subject, one that we probably have already heard, hopefully one that we know already quite clearly, but yet it's a message that Satan tries so hard for us to forget. Like, we can read about it, we can hear it, like, every week, even every day, but yet throughout the day, it's something that we forget, it's something that we become distracted by, and it's because it's something that Satan has worked so hard to deceive, to lie to us about, to hide from us the true love of God and what it is for us to be a Christian. So, as a Christian, the thought is that we follow Christ, correct? We follow Christ in everything that he is, in his example that he has been to us. And the first thing that he did is from the very beginning, he loved us. He created us for the purpose to love us. You know, he created all these other beings, but on this earth, he created the entire earth for the purpose of loving us. That he would have somebody, an object to love, a people that he could love and that would love him back. So he created us. Even though he knew from the beginning what we would choose to do, he still saw in his plan that he wanted to love us infinitely. So when he came to this earth after we had fallen, he spent his time preaching. But more than his time preaching, he spent his time with people. He spent his time serving people in whatever capacity they needed. If they were sick, he worked to heal them. You know, even the Pharisees, he tried so hard to show them, you're going in the wrong direction. But in everything that he did it in love. Even in his death, the very purpose of his life on this earth, when he died, it was in love. His plan from the beginning, his life, his death, totally in love. And I know that there is nobody here that can argue that. That is something that, you know, we have all heard. But as Christians, now, his whole life exemplified love. Our whole lives, as Christians, should also be exemplifying that in everything that we are. In our purpose, in our work, in our play, in our relationships with people, it should all be around that same central focus. Unfortunately, it seems like the whole world has decided that they need a God, so they follow the title of Christianity. In the United States, in 2007, according to Wikipedia, we have 78.4% of our population is Christian, which was news to me, because if you walk out on the street, you wouldn't necessarily know that 78.4% of the population is Christian. You don't come across that many people that really have the love of God in their hearts, that actually show it in their actions. So it's something that has become more real to me as I've gotten older. I've had the opportunity to see a large number of places in the world. I've seen, and I've been able to meet a large number of people, even at my university. I think I know almost everybody that's there. It's a small school, but I've just gotten to know a large number of people. But even as I've grown up, I have watched my friends who started out with a strong faith continue day in, day out, whatever life would bring, but they weren't able to remember and keep the focus of what their purpose in life was. And so I've watched a lot of my friends leave church, and after they leave church, they leave God. I've asked them on numerous events, like, what is it that makes you want to leave? What is it that the world shows that you want so badly that you would leave God for it? They tell me, you know, Lindsay, do you really think that this is real? Do you really think that there is any difference between Christians and non-Christians?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I believe there is something different. And like, when I come to this church, I feel so loved. But there are a large number of people, they do not realize what they have. They do not realize the love that should be showed to everybody. And there are a lot of times people will look at, for example, there can be a huge congregation of people and they will notice that one person that does not show the love. So people are leaving, people are becoming distracted, and that comes back to a focus. Like right now, I have a good friend that I text a lot. And this particular friend, actually, they're kind of like, they still attend church, but they're kind of in the midst of deciding not to. And right now, I kind of feel like the point that they're at is because they are focusing so much on what people do, rather than on what Christ does, rather than on what he actually wants from his people. So this is something that is very concerning, yet we have this example. And with this example, this love will change the world. Because like, there's one phrase that I take out of the Share Him sermons: the change the world needs is not a revolution of the world, but of the human heart. Because sometimes it is easy to love, and sometimes it is not easy to love. I think we probably all have somebody in our lives, some of us have more people in our lives, that we find it very difficult to love. You know, I know somebody that has a problem with road rage, and even like the instant somebody does something on the road, like there's an immediate hate. Like, it's really surprising how fast that builds. Or I guess I don't need to give examples, but we all have those examples of people in our lives that are really difficult to love. But as Christians, we should have something that is totally different in our lives. Something that is not just something that we have in our minds and our hearts that's a secret. It should be something that everybody knows about us. And sometimes I wonder about myself, because I don't think that all the people that I know of my love for God. And if they don't know about my love for God, then there must be something that I am doing, or there's not something that I'm doing that would show it. So I think that there is probably room for us all to work on that. One of my favorite songs when I was a kid, I remember this was actually a camp meeting song in my mind. The song, We Are One in the Spirit. Do you guys remember that song? I'm going to read through the lyrics if you guys don't, because there are some parts that I want to highlight on. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity may one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love. Yes, they'll know we're Christians by our love. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. And together we'll spread the news that God is in our land. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. And we'll guard each man's dignity and save each man's pride. And they'll know we're Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we're Christians by our love. If you think about the words to that song, it does not say they'll know we're Christians by the way that we dress, or they'll know that we're Christians because of the places that we go. Because those things are important, and those things will be seen. But you have to really watch somebody's lifestyle for a long time to realize if they're going someplace that's different, or if they're eating something that's different. Those aren't things that stand out to people. Things that stand out to people are actions of love that show I'm different. I'm not focused on me. I have a different focus, and I love you, and I want to help you. It's something that's not natural, that's not from this world, and sometimes it's unbelievable to people. I've had the opportunity to go overseas a number of times, and the responses that you get from people when you're overseas are really interesting, because a lot of them recognize, hey, why did you leave your country? Most people in other countries want to come to our country. Why did you leave your country behind so that you could come way out here and talk to us? What is it that you find so interesting or so important that you would travel so far to come and say? And that really shocks people. Last year, especially last summer, I was in Rwanda. My first night, I had 835 people. It was my first time ever doing any preaching, and it scared me so badly. I talked to some of the church elders that were there, and I asked them, you know, why are there so many people here? And they say, oh, well, they know you have something so important to share with them. Because you have come all the way from America. They've been doing advertising and said, this person has come all the way from America to share something important with you. And it intimidated me because I was like, oh, I have all this pressure. I'm going to have to say something really incredible. And I realized that what I have to share is something that is so incredible. And that there was by no means over-advertising, because it's not something that I'm going to go. I'm not going to go there and share with them, you know, something that is important because it's important to me, but because it is the gospel. It's something that will change their lives. God calls us to love people, not just the people that are overseas, because a lot of times they're nicer and they're easier to love than the average person you'll find in America on the street. He calls us to love the people that are easy to love. He calls us to love the people that are really quite difficult to love sometimes. God's love is not the kind of love that's like sappy, that's emotional, that makes people break down and not be able to make good decisions. That's not the kind of love we're talking about. We're talking about the kind of love that the martyrs had. The kind that is worth living for, the kind that is worth dying for. I was looking at some of the examples in the Fox's Book of Martyrs of just name after name of people, and I thought about sharing some of those, but it just seemed really gruesome, so I didn't. But you guys can look in the Fox's Book of Martyrs. You know, there are people that went through so much because of their love for God. And because that love was so active in their lives, they could not imagine life without God, life without that love. If we had even the membership of our small little church, if each person had that love, that reason for life, think of how far, how far it could go. God calls us to love our families, our friends, our neighbors, strangers. For me especially, it's hard for strangers. Actually, this summer, I found it kind of interesting to watch the people that you'll just see on the street, like people you don't know. The people with the signs, the hitchhikers. I've promised my mother I will not pick up any hitchhikers. So you don't need to be concerned about that. But, you know, sometimes I really wonder about their lives and how much of who they are we try to block out. Like, I try to, sometimes I'll even change lanes just because I don't want to make eye contact with the guy holding the sign, because I don't know what eye contact to make back. You know, do you smile? Like, I'm not helping them, you know? But it seems like there are so many people that we don't know anything about. And it seems like, at least for me, when I'm overseas, when I'm doing mission work, the faces of the people that you see on the streets, they call out for you to stop, to be able to talk to them, to be able to help them. But it seems like when I'm in the United States, I've been here, I've seen the people so much that it's something that I almost block out. And I wonder, sometimes, if Christ were here, what difference would he make? If Christ is in my life, what difference does he want to make through my life? I want you to look in your Bibles with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the chapter of love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is talking about the powerful kind of love that we were just talking about. We're going to look at the first two verses. These verses, I hope, are familiar to all of you. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could move mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. To me, I have read this and I am still distracted by the way that it says have the gift of prophecy. I've always thought, how cool would that be to have the gift of prophecy, to understand all mysteries? Nobody understands all mysteries. And to have all knowledge and to have all faith so that I could remove mountains. That last one especially, to have all faith that I could remove mountains. It seems like it would be so incredible to be able to have that kind of faith. But yet the Bible specifically is saying that the most important thing is love. And that is something that is asked of all of us, that we have that love, that we share that love. Even if we're not, you know, we don't all have the gift of prophecy, and we sure don't all understand all mysteries and have all knowledge. And I haven't seen a lot of people moving mountains with their faith either. You know, these things are important, and they are for a select people. Well, I can't say all of them are for a select few. I think we can all have that faith. But things like the gift of prophecy are for a select few. But the greatest gift God offers all of us, that love, that opportunity to share that love. I also want to look in verse 8. It says, charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. The first part, charity never faileth. I have a friend in particular who is looking for answers, and I tell them, love, God's love is the only answer. And right now it's something they're struggling with, because they said, you know, that's not enough. Charity never faileth. Charity is always enough. It's also interesting that in every text regarding loving other people, it is never something that says, and when you want to, love people, or when there are nice people, love people. It is something that's given as a command. As a Christian, or as Christians, it is not something for only a select few people to have. It's something that we have, that we can share. Can you imagine what a difference it would make? Like, that's what keeps going through my mind. Can you imagine what a difference it would make if
your number one focus, if my number one focus above in everything that I did was to love God, to love his people, to work to love through him, that he would use us to do his work on this earth.
There was a story I heard once about this man. He took his son and his son's friend on a boat out into the ocean, you know, just to do some fishing. And, you know, it was a special excursion for his son and his son's friend. The man was a Christian. His son was a Christian. And he took them out. And when, as they were quite a ways out from shore, a storm came up and they weren't able to get back to shore in time. The boat capsized. The man is out there. He has his little life preserver thing and he can toss it. He has a choice of two people, his son's friend. Can you imagine having to make that choice? I'm thinking probably most of you are parents to try to make that choice. I can't imagine. I'm not a parent. But he threw it to his son's friend because he knew that his son knew Jesus and he knew that his son's friend did not know Jesus. That is like love at its most intense point, that he would see his son, but yet he would choose to help his son's friend who was way out there. There is also, let's look at 1 John chapter 3. And it's title versus relationship in 1 John chapter 3. It's verse 10 and 11. It says, "In this the children of God are manifest, that the children of the devil, whosoever doeth not righteousness, is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is a message that ye had heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." That's the difference between God's people, not God's people. Love at all times, not love at all times. It's a message I find that there are so very few people. Well, actually, I've never come across somebody that I've, you know, talked to about this that will disagree with me. There's nobody that will, after this, will come up to me and be like, Lindsay, you're not really supposed to love everybody. You know, you don't come across people like that. But yet it's still something that I come across every day, something I know, something I can start my day out telling God, you know, please help me to love people. And yet it's still something that I forget. It's still something that when I go through my day, I still find myself getting frustrated with people. I still find myself not loving the way that I'm supposed to love. And you know the reason for that? It's because we're in the middle of a battle. It's because we have an enemy that is constantly trying to distract us. If he's already got us on the health message, then he's going to find something else that he's going to attack us with. And as Christians, that's what he likes to attack us on the most, is to get us to lose sight of him, to get us to not love everybody that is around us. When you don't love somebody, that's not putting them at a disadvantage. That's putting you at a disadvantage because you're being separated from God. The only way that we can love everybody, or even love anybody sincerely, is through God. He is the only way. We are living, I believe, near the very end of time. There are people all around us. I'm really glad that my church is involved with Share Him and doing things that are outside this country as well as inside this country. Because in the United States, there are so many people that need somebody to love them, that needs to see a difference, a life that is different. I also read about a letter that was written to a man on death row once. It was written by the father of the man that the man on death row had killed. And it was written to this man, and it said, basically, the first thing I want to tell you is that I forgive you. That's a huge statement for somebody whose son was just killed by this man. I forgive you. The second thing that I want to tell you is, you know, that I am very rich. That was my only son. He was my heir. And that I would like to, if you accept my offer, I would like to make you heir to my wealth. And as soon as you accept, then all cases will be dropped. And you will be let out of prison.
you need only to accept the offer. That doesn't sound realistic. It doesn't even sound near realistic. To write somebody a letter and to forgive them sounds about as far stretched as it could go. But can you imagine asking the person that had killed your son to take his place? This is not a love that comes from the world. This is not a love that makes sense to us. It's not a love that is reasonable to us. But it's still the love that God has for us and that he offers for us to share. I was also recently reading from this little green book. It's not a pretty book, but it's called Our High Calling. It's one of those books Ellen White wrote after she died, which usually is an interesting concept to me, but I was reading recently from page 231, and it's not a long page, but I was trying to figure out what part of it I could share, but it all goes together, so I'm going to share it with you real quickly. It says, God would have his children realize that in order to glorify him, their affection must be given to those who most need it. No selfishness in look, word, or deed is to be manifested when dealing with those of like precious faith. Whether they be high or low, rich or poor, the love that gives kind words is only a few, while others are treated with coldness and indifference, is not love, but selfishness. It will not in any way work for the good of souls or the glory of God. Our love is not to be sealed up for special ones to the neglect of others. Break the bottle and the fragrance will fill the house. Those who gather the sunshine of Christ's righteousness and do not let it shine forth into the lives of others will soon lose the sweet, bright rays of heavenly grace, selfishly reserved to be lavished on only upon a few. Those who possess much affection are responsible to God to bestow this affection on all who need help. To love as Christ loved means to manifest unselfishness at all times and in all places by kind words and pleasant looks. These cost those who give them nothing, but they leave behind a fragrance that surrounds the soul. Their effect can never be estimated. Not only are they a blessing to the receiver, but to the giver, for they react upon him. Genuine love is a precious attribute of heavenly origin, which increases in fragrance in proportion as it is dispensed to others. The souls of those who love Jesus will be surrounded with a pure, fragrant atmosphere. There are those who hide their soul hunger. These will be greatly helped by a tender word or a kind remembrance. The heavenly gifts, freely and richly bestowed by God, are in turn to be freely bestowed by us upon all who come within the sphere of our influence. Thus we reveal a love that is heaven-born and which will increase as it is freely used in blessing others. Thus we glorify God. It's not easy. It's not natural, but it's what we're called to do. The last text I'm going to look up is in Hebrews chapter 12, and it's just a verse of encouragement. It says in verse 1 and 2, therefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The race that we're called to is to love in all that we do, to everyone we come across. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear Lord in heaven, I want to thank you so much for the Sabbath, Lord. And I want to thank you for the gift of love that you've given us. Lord, I ask that we not only recognize your love and our mission now, Lord, but throughout our lives, throughout this week, Lord, that we are able to remember and to focus solely on you, Lord. Please protect us from Satan and his distractions, and help us to love as you have loved, and so that we can make a difference to other people, Lord, so that we can see you more clearly. We thank you so much for hearing our prayer and for always being there for us. We ask these things in your name. Amen.